Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Make sure you're fully insured. All at the with great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get into Glenn Mack now, our play-by-play call of the day.
Second down. Pickett slings it down the field. A good out pattern, and it goes to Vaughns. Vaughns is going to dive into the end zone. Tyler Vaughns from Kenny Pickett. And there's a penalty flag on the play. Way behind it.
Roughing the passer. Defense, number 95. The touchdown stands. The penalty will be thrown from the try.
By the energy of this crowd, you cannot tell that this is a preseason game.
Bob Pompiani with the call on KDKA. I can tell you based on the records, it's a preseason game. It didn't count. All right, so let's get to the Eagles preseason. Glenn Mack now joins us. Glenn, off to a good start the other day. What were your first of all, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Always my pleasure, Steve.
All right, so now let's get to the game itself. Really put together a really nice opening performance in the context of preseason, which you've seen so much in the course of your career. What'd you like about it?
Well, what I liked about it is they got the first unit offense in there. They wanted to throw the ball. Jalen Hurts went 6-for-6. They scored a touchdown. They got him out of there. That's pretty much all you could ask for.
Yeah, it is pretty much all you can ask for along the way. So a lot of this is about roster spots 40 through 53. You know, you have three preseason games to determine that. It's not a quarterback battle or it's not a running back battle, anything like that. So what did you see in those roster spots that bear watching as to somebody who might make this roster?
Okay. First, let me tell you, there is some degree of breaking news. I don't know if you had this today, but because this is a guy who was fighting for a roster spot, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah.
The second-round pick from, 3 years ago, and he was not doing anything. He was trying to switch over to tight end. The Eagles just traded him within the last hour or two to Seattle for a defensive back named Ugo Amadi. I don't know much about Ugo Amadi, except when I look it up, it says the Seahawks were expected to release him today. So rather than, looks like two guys who had the chance of being released where they were got traded for each other. Maybe the Eagles picked up a little cornerback depth. So that's one thing I noticed. That's a guy who's not going to be here.
Right.
As for a guy I noticed who impressed me, although there's no doubt he's going to make the team, Cam Jurgens, the second-round pick, center, who played for Jason Kelce, I thought looked really good. It's Jason Kelce, we hope he's going to play forever, probably won't, and I think Cam Jurgens is a guy Kelce wanted him to draft, and I think he looked really good in his time.
Yeah, he's the Nebraska kid, and I know that Kelce had said he's the best center in the draft. You know, I mean, I thought Linderbaum from Iowa, and I saw both of them in person, but he knows his craft better than I do. I just know what my eyes told me. It doesn't matter. They're both really good players. And and Jurgens can play guard as well. So and give us an idea, Glenn, about versatility in the offensive line, because the numbers in the regular season are limited.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. So they have a terrific starting offensive line from left to right with Melata.
No doubt.
Dickerson's going to be the guard this year, the second round pick last year. And I think he also, I mean, he's going to be a really quality offensive lineman. Kelce, Samalu at right guard, Lane Johnson at right tackle. So who's going to be there after that? Juergens is going to be there. Be interesting to see what happens with Andre Dillard, the first-round pick in 2019. He's only played left tackle. When they tried him at right tackle, he was completely uncomfortable. As you're saying, you can only carry a limited number of guys. You need flexibility. I don't know what's going to happen with Dillard. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him. Jack Driscoll will be the backup tackle, floating both sides, and he's pretty good. Who am I leaving out? Opetta is the other guard. But that's it. Listen, they got depth. Jack Anderson's a guard who played and played well. They have depth at the offensive line. Wouldn't be surprised if Diller's out of here.
Linebackers, there's a lot of sub-packages. So people are playing a lot of nickel and dimes these days. But a lot of people have thought, okay, shore up the linebacking a little bit. Okay, so what did you think of the linebackers?
I thought Kaiser White looked good. Listen, again, the starting defense only played 11 plays against the Jets and did well. Jets' first unit didn't score. The poor quarterback got hurt. That didn't help the Jets. But I thought Kaiser White, who's the new Will linebacker that they got, looked pretty good. I don't know what else I can tell you. N'Kobe Dean didn't quite look comfortable. He had one nice play. I think we all are infatuated with the kid, but he may not be ready to play. And I'm not talking about physically. I think he may need a little bit of development time. He reminds me a little bit of Jeremiah Trotter when Trot came here. And I understand, listen, Dean was, you know, the captain of the best defense in the country versus Trotter came from Stephen Austin. So there is that difference in terms of what they had in the past. But N'Kobe Dean may need a little time to develop.
But that's okay. It's a different speed of the game. And there's also there's also a couple of different expectations, too, about what the position is in this league because they do throw the ball so much.
Yeah, they do. And you rarely have more than two linebackers on the field. You know, in the Eagles' depth chart, I think they're still listing Hassan Reddick as a linebacker, which is what I want to see and what they really haven't revealed is whether they're going to play a 4-3 or 3-4. They've done both in camp. They're not telling you anything. You know, the head coach is very circumspect. If you ask him what's going to happen, he says, well, you know, I don't want to give anything away. You'll see. But if you're counting, if you're going a 3-4 and you're technically counting Hassan Reddick as a linebacker, he's going to be an impact player here this year. There's little doubt about that.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you referenced Nick Sirianni. Second year as a head coach, do you see any difference as to how he approaches things, any difference as to how he approaches the media, anything that shows he's got a year under his belt?
Well, I'll say two things. One is, he certainly, you mentioned the media, he's much more comfortable. Yeah. Last year, if you remember his introductory news conference where he's sweating and talking fast, and he tried too hard, and I understand that. You know, it seemed obvious he was trying to be popular, and a head coach can't worry about that. And this year, I think he's much more comfortable. He's much more confident. The big difference, I think, with Sirianni this year is not Nick. It's, I think, the players have bought in. You know, I didn't know what they had last year. He's a new head coach, very little experience, young, a little bit chatty. You know, players, veteran players, they need that head coach to prove something. Now, if you talk to guys like Kelce and Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson, and the guys have been around for a while, they believe in him. They like him. They swear by him. He's got the loyalty of the leaders on the team, and I think that's going to help. It's going to go a long way for him this year.
I know he's big on Jordan Davis.
me too.
When you watch him, does he have – now, maybe he doesn't have to do this. Because of the way they are depth-wise, do you think he's a big man, but can he play 50 or 60 plays in a game?
It's not going to – it won't happen because you still got Fletcher Cox, and Cox is certainly on, you know, on the downward side of it, but Cox will play 30 plays a game, and Davis will play 30 plays a game, and they have Javon Hargrave, and more. They play Milton Williams inside a good amount. He's not going to have to play 60 plays a game. And I just, when he is out there, you see him out there. You know, the size is staggering. You see him.
Yes.
I've seen big guys come out for this team. I've seen John Runyon and King Dunlap and, you know, guys in the past who are just the size of a garage. He may be the biggest in terms of all, you know, heft and height and muscle that I've seen, and they're already double-teaming him. You know, the Jets in a preseason game are having two men so that he doesn't blow up the middle on a pass play, and I think that's what he's going to do all year. I think he's just going to collapse it up the middle, you know, kind of push everything, and the quarterback's going to have to run around, and other Eagles will get the sack.
He's also under the wing of Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox talks to him all the time about technique. Now, Davis, even at Georgia, playing in the SEC, technique was not important to him because he was just quicker and bigger than everybody else.
Yeah, sure. And that's what happens. You know, you get some guys.
That's a, right. That's a fact of life. I mean, that's not a criticism. Yeah. That's a fact of life. All right. Having a guy like Cox that says, okay, at this level, remember to do this, what does that mean for the young man's future?
Yeah, well, listen, Fletcher Cox is not a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but he's going to be an Eagles Hall of Famer. He's made the Pro Bowl, I don't know, half a dozen times in his career. He is a professional the way he has approached the game. He knows the technique. He knows the opponents. And I think that having that guy chatter in your ear when you're a rookie is invaluable. I don't know Jordan Davis. I've spoken to him two, maybe three times, but I'm really impressed by him. I think he really wants to succeed. You know, you say they all do, but I think he wants to be a great player, and he's got the physical attributes. I think it can happen. He's, of everybody on this team right now, he was the guy I was watching the closest on Friday night, and I just, he kind of confirmed everything that I hoped he would be. I think he's going to be a great player.
All right, so let's take a next step. So what did you see to confirm that?
Just his sheer ability to push people around and not be pushed around. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Him.
Right.
He's right in the middle of the field, and the ball is snapped, and he's going forward against the offensive line. He's not going backwards. And that's pretty much what I want from that position.
Devontae Smith is getting himself back into the mix, but everybody has a chance to see A.J. Brown. It's one thing to have everybody look at what he did at Tennessee. Has he been as advertised to you?
Well, he didn't do anything in the game. They didn't target him in the game, and that's okay. The one thing I would say in practice that it's all short passes, at least when we were able to watch it. They're throwing short to him, and then he's, you know, trying to bust through it. I want to see him go deep. I understand that Smith will, by and large, be the deep guy, and you got Quez Watkins with a lot of speed. I mean, I can't say A.J. Brown's a disappointment. I would just say that what I have seen of him is limited in that everything he catches is 5 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. When Miles Sanders was up here a couple months ago, I just noticed he was a bit lighter. He said I got to be quicker. I said, okay. So what do you think of Miles so far?
He's had a good camp. Explosive, you know, but he's always had explosive in him. What I don't know yet. So listen, we know he can run the ball. That he can do. What kind of declined in his career, what he got worse at in the last year, was he was a really good receiver as a rookie. You remember, I mean, you covered him in college. He was really good at catching the ball out of the backfield. And last year, he lost that. I don't know why. There's really no good reason to think of it. I can't tell you he's got it back or not because it's practice. So I really can't tell you. But he is quicker. They say more explosive. He needs to catch the ball. I think this year they're going to use Gainwell a good amount, that's the plan, that he'll catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't know. Let me put it this way, and we're not talking fantasy football, but if I had a fantasy football draft, I would move Miles Sanders down a couple of rounds because I don't think he's going to get the ball as much as he has in the past years.
Interesting. Very interesting. And Gainwell can be a good receiver in this offense.
Yeah.
I mean, I had him in the Cotton Bowl and saw him play in the Cotton Bowl. Good player.
Well, let me just say this about Gainwell. What he's got to show this year is that he can block, because that's what he couldn't do as a rookie.
No. Well, he couldn't do that at Memphis either, believe me. They were in the backfield left and right during the course of that game, and he could not handle anybody. But it's a different level. All right. Glenn, great stuff. Really appreciate the time you gave us today and all the information.
Steve, it's always my pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks. Glenn Macnow. Great stuff. About the Eagles, off to a good start. They also got through it unscathed. I mean, Glenn referenced the Jets. The Jets did not get through it unscathed. Zach Wilson is out a minimum of 2 to 4 weeks, and everything they have revolves around him. The Eagles got out of the first game, the first preseason game unscathed, as did the Steelers, as a matter of fact. So that's the part you do get concerned about. I almost feel like that's the first thing in a preseason game you look at. Okay, what was the injury report? And for the Eagles, I don't think there was one. Right? I mean, Smith didn't play at all. Kelsey's had that elbow problem anyway. But yeah, there you go. Matt just trying to hang on to something exciting. It's been really a disastrous sports year.
I have been disappointed on numerous occasions. You're right.
Well, so far this team, like I said, the big part is they got out of it where they played, you know, the first unit played well, right? Hurts didn't miss a pass. Great. And they also got out of there without getting nicked up. Sure, the Jets won it, you know. It's not good. The Jets beat you.
See, that's what everybody says. But you know what? As Ross Tucker even said on the broadcast, there was 14-0.
It's the preseason. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, okay? Don't worry about it. All right? It doesn't matter. I mean, let me put it to you this way. If you are somebody that puts money down on preseason games, listen closely to the disclaimer on the commercials because you need it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
FOULED, that spells founder.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4 Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Yeah, I don't care whether it's a preseason game or a scrimmage, even a practice. I mean, you know, because they'll hit in practice. You know, one of the things you look for right away is you get through unscathed. And then you start going through, okay, once you get through that part, okay, the next element is, okay, how well did everybody do? But that's the way it is. I mean, how many of your key guys can you keep? at this stage. And that's whether it's college or pro. I mean, look at the Jets. They play the game, Wilson gets hurt. Well, he's a young quarterback. He's got to play. You know, I mean, especially when so much revolves around him. And he got banged up, and he's out at least 2 to 4 weeks. Hurts got through no problem unscathed. All the Steeler quarterbacks got through unscathed, no problem.
Other than the cheap shot he took along the sideline.
See, I didn't see the game at all, so don't, you know, I can't comment on any of that. I had Spikes games the whole weekend. So I was out at night every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which meant driving because they were all road games. So, who took a cheap shot?
I forgot who it was exactly because I didn't see the play live either. But Jalen Hurts did. Jalen Hurts did along the sideline. Yeah, he was scrambling, clearly out of bounds. Took a helmet to helmet shot. They did call a penalty, but there should be stricter enforcements on throwing out players during the preseason when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, obviously, when it comes to doling out penalties, the Cowboys are really good. They had 17 of them.
Saw that.
17 penalties. Golly.
I'm telling you, it is going to... I'm not saying based off of this, but it's going to be a rude awakening for the Cowboys this year.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, they'll go bundles, they'll do everything they can to save you money. They are great pros, and I cannot thank them enough for the incredible hospitality at last week's Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. They think in the end they're going to raise better than $20,000 again to help out that great cause at the Y. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Let's go to Steelers camp now, and we're joined by Alex Cazora. Alex, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I think all three quarterbacks, but in particular Trubisky and Pickens, created a lot of buzz by what they did against Seattle. So what did you like about the top two in particular?
Yeah, I think to your point, all three did well. I think Trubisky showed that mobility, you know, that touchdown he had, roll out to his left, hit a wide open Gunnar Olszewski. Haven't seen a quarterback move like that in quite some time in Pittsburgh. And then with Pickett, just being consistent, on time, accurate overall, ran that, you know, game-winning drive exceptionally well. A lot of trust showed in Pickett by Mike Tomlin. So just, you know, laying a good foundation of playing mistake-free, taking a profit, doing all the little things right you have to as a quarterback. Both of those things and all of those things really impressed me with Kenny Pickett for a first time out.
So you're trying to look, Alex, to, you know, you got to be picky-oon about this sometimes. So here's a picky-oon question. Pickett has had a tendency in his college career, and it did show up the other night against Seattle, too. He can hold on to the ball a little longer than some. Is there any concern that he holds on? Because, I mean, that was Ben's MO when he came up.
Mm-hmm.
Ben held on to the ball a long time. Any concern about that in terms of how you watched it the other night, even though he had complete success?
Sure, that definitely was a concern of mine at Pitt. You know, last year he had an average snap-to-throw time of 3.19 seconds. That was sixth highest in the FBS. The first week this summer, it felt like he was having those similar problems. I didn't see it as much of an issue against Seattle. I timed every snap-to-throw that he had in all 15 attempts. It actually was second. So after things that I saw, that snap time, being anticipatory, getting the ball out on schedule, top tier drop. So I think he's sped up quite a bit from where he was at last year at Pitt and even compared to his first week of training camp just a couple of weeks ago.
All right, we talked about Trubisky and we talked about Kenny Pickett. The odd man out in this is probably going to be, in the end, Mason Rudolph. So what happens with him, and what can his NFL future be like after this Steelers situation?
That's a really good question, Steve. Still a battle. I don't want to cement Kenny Pickett into that number two spot quite yet. I think him and Mason Rudolph will battle this thing the rest of the summer. You know, could Rudolph get traded? That's possible if a team came calling. I don't know if Pittsburgh is going to, you know, pick up. I think they would pick up the phone. I don't think they're going to make that call to potentially trade Mason Rudolph. But really what Rudolph is a competent number two quarterback. He was billed as a potential heir to Ben whenever he was drafted. That's not going to happen, but he's a serviceable spot starter overall. And so if a team needed a backup somewhere else and they were interested, maybe Pittsburgh would make that move. But I think they want to keep their quarterbacks, keep their options open. But in terms of that backup spot, right now it's still Rudolph and Pickett fighting for that number two role to start the season.
Interesting. Okay. Give us a read on George Pickens, the second-round pick out of Georgia, who is now, 16 months maybe removed from his ACL? He's been the buzz there. Why?
Yeah, it was just March of 2021. He tore that ACL, and he's been the buzz because he's making all the high-level plays. In any contested jump ball situation, we call those 50-50 balls. When it's thrown to George Pickens, it's more 80-20 in Pickens' favor. He's been fantastic in terms of being able to high point and track and make some of those really elite-level type plays. Saw it in training camp on a near daily basis and saw that Saturday against Seattle with that great toe-tap catch for a 26-yard touchdown from Mason Rudolph, which was a great throw, by the way. So the fluidity, all the traits are there, the hand catching. I mean, he's going to work on his route running and be a more refined player overall, work on his release packages, but all the traits you need to be a great receiver are there. He gets coached up a little bit. This dude's going to be a stud.
How much did Anthony McFarland help himself against Seattle?
Quite a bit. He's had a really good camp, and oh boy, does he need a good camp, because he was very much on the bubble entering this summer. He ran hard. He took care of the football. He's getting work in two running back pony groupings. He's caught the ball well overall. He's fighting a rookie, Jaylen Warren, who's kind of been one of the camp darlings and buzz guys. Warren's a different type of guy, more power, more stocky, but McFarland really works well in Matt Canada's offense. Canada's going to get to really run his offense this year without Ben, so McFarland, I think, is still in that driver's seat, but I thought what McFarland did against Seattle certainly helped his cause.
Is Devin Bush doing anything to help his cause?
I wish he was. He's not. It was a tough game against Seattle. I don't think he had a single tackle, and there was one run where Travis Homer cut the run back right in front of him, and Bush didn't get a hand on him. Bush was unblocked the entire play, did not touch the running back. And so his camp's been just okay. I think Robert Spillane has outplayed him. But Bush, you know, in a critical do-or-die year, last year was rookie contract. He may start the year, but I don't know how much, you know, rope he's going to have. This is going to be probably, almost certainly, Devin Bush's last year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, the knee injury took a lot out of him. Great lateral quickness, so he's lost some of that. But he never was really a great fundamental player when he was at Michigan. And I think and this is the time he needs to be a fundamentally better player.
Absolutely. You got to be. To play in Pittsburgh, you better stop the run. That's where it begins. Pittsburgh, 32nd in run defense last year, historically bad unit, averaging 5.0 yards per carry on the ground. And so their mission is to stop the run. And so, you know, Bush may be a good athlete overall in terms of the time and the testing, but I think he's not playing as fast to that time speed and coverage. You know, he's a good athlete, but is he technical? No, he struggles with being able to stay in phase and find the ball and finish the play and things like that. So everything seems to be a tick slow for him on the field, and so it doesn't matter if you run a 4.4 in shorts. If you're slow on the field, you're going to play, you know, to a much slower time. And unfortunately, Bush, just that consistency, physicality, getting off of blocks, have not seen that from him enough, and that's certainly going to put him in a bad spot.
Alex Kozora joining us. Alex, earlier I had Glenn Mack now on the show from Eagles camp. And I said a lot of this comes down to, especially if you're a good team to a better team, of roster spots 40 to 53. So in that range of 40 to 53, in watching not just camp, but the preseason opener with Seattle, who sticks out who has a better chance of making 40 to 53?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the battle's still being determined for a lot of those final spots, but a receiver like Miles Boykin, who was a big height, weight, speed guy out of Notre Dame, Pittsburgh claimed him off of waivers this offseason when Baltimore dumped him. You know, that's a guy fighting hard for a spot to try to be that sixth wide receiver. He's a guy that can make plays downfield vertically. He's a good blocker, and he's a really strong special teams player and showed that against Seattle. Some other guys, like a seventh-round pick like Mark Robinson, he's got run-and-chase ability. He's a hard hitter. He's a high-energy kind of guy. Can he run backwards? Is he comfortable in coverage? He's a former running back, played 1 year at linebacker at Ole Miss. He's still trying to make that conversion. Connor Hayward's a name that got a lot of buzz on day three of the NFL draft. Obviously, Cam Hayward's younger brother, he's shown good athleticism, good hands. They're trying to use him as a more of an inline wide tight end. He's an undersized guy, lacks length. Some issues there, but he's fighting hard for a roster spot. So those are three names of guys that are going to be needing to fight and compete and battle down to the wire to secure their place on this roster for week one against the Bengals.
So let's get back to the quarterbacks for a moment. This is the first time Mike's ever had to do this because he had been the entire time in his tenure there. Have you felt like the Steelers, that Mike, the coaching staff, and the organization have embraced this as a challenge to show everybody they can do it?
Oh, yeah. I think Mike Tomlin set that tone from day one. He's not hit at all. This is a battle. This is a competition. Although I will say, I mean, Trubisky was basically said to be the starter from day one back in the spring, and I think it basically was Trubisky's job to lose throughout this process, and nothing he's done so far has lost that spot. But I think Tomlin, he loves a good challenge. You know, he loves that newness. He's been a coach for a long time, and he's done most of everything but picking a quarterback, not one of them, as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think he embraces that adversity. He might like it a little less once the season begins and you're facing some other top quarterbacks, but for the here and now, I think he likes that battle and watching guys compete and bring out the best in each other.
In seeing Trubisky in camp and then seeing it for a brief period of time against Seattle, what do you like about him, Alex? What gives you pause?
I think what I like about him is that mobility, the overall accuracy and command. I think he's a really above the net kind of player, good leader, and this team certainly needing that kind of leadership. When you lose a guy like Ben, when you've overhauled the Steelers' offensive line the way they have the last 2 years, it's a young group guy. It's probably the youngest offense in football. Young skill guys, young offensive line. It's a pretty young quarterback room overall, so someone has to take command of that. Trubisky has. The thing that gives me pause is just the up and down play. You've seen some good from Trubisky in practice and in that preseason game. You've seen some bad from Trubisky, some bad days overall. And when you have kind of up and down and flighty quarterback play, it's really hard to get into a rhythm as an offense and by extension as a team. And again, when you're facing an AFC North with some really good quarterbacks and Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, if he ever plays, you know, outside of that, the AFC, Mahomes and Josh Allen, guys who are consistently excellent week after week, if you're kind of fighting that battle, the peaks and valleys, that's just a tough position to be in. So I think Pittsburgh's going to get some good plays from Trubisky, but also some head scratchers as well, and that's just going to make it for a very turbulent type of season.
A year ago, the Eagles bragged justifiably about their offensive line, and they feel really good about it now. The Steelers were 180 of that. It was a struggle. What have you seen from the offensive line so far this preseason?
Well, I will say on the positive side, they've been healthy and have been able to work together, and we know that offensive line play is less about the individual and more about the collective. It's a one-fail-we-all-fail kind of mindset, and so they've gotten a lot of reps and a lot of work overall, guys. Generally been healthy and available from an on-field perspective. The run blocking's been better. The pass protection has been an adventure, and I'm being charitable when I use that word. And so I think it's still the young guys overall trying to mesh together. Right guard James Daniels, the big prize free agent, has not had a great summer overall, so hopefully he gets better going forward. He really has to. I think this team will improve in terms of run blocking and pass pro. I think it'll be a struggle this year.
All right, so that now brings us back to the quarterbacks. What kind of payoff is Trubisky's mobility because of what you just said?
Well, it's going to be important. I think you saw that in the game. There was one play where Daniels missed the blitz, and a guy came free from Seattle, and Trubisky was able to break the tackle and get 4 yards out of it. That would have been a sack last year if that was Ben. And so certainly that quarterback mobility is going to help, changing the launch point, moving the quarterback off of the spot on boots and rollouts and things like that to probably mitigate some of the offensive line issues overall to get the ball out quicker overall as well. So certainly these quarterbacks are going to have to be mobile, and it's a good thing that they are because they're going to have times this year where they're going to be running for their lives.
Yeah, and that'll be an issue. Have they said what they're playing? I mean, Freiermuth didn't play. I don't think Harris played, did he, in the game?
No. No, he did not.
Is there a chance he'll get into game two just to get them in?
Yeah, I think they'll use the second game here upcoming against Jacksonville as their quote-unquote tune-up game. Harris had dealt with a foot injury. He's healthy. He returned in practice in full today, so that's a good sign. They may sit him out because he's going to get the ball, you know, 300-plus times this year in terms of carrying it, so I'm cool if he wants to sit out the entire summer. But I imagine they're going to use this Saturday's game as a tune-up game where you'll see Freiermuth and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Trubisky play a little bit longer to kind of get those guys some work with the new quarterback.
What did you think of the signing of Johnson?
I was all in favor of it. I think Pittsburgh got a really good team-friendly deal. You know, all these quarter or the receiver, these wide receivers getting paid $20+ million. Gary Terry, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, list goes on. And Pittsburgh getting, you know, well below that in the $18.5 million range or so on a 2-year deal. So it's a little quicker deal for Deontay Johnson to become a free agent again. But I know the drops have been an issue with him, but they really were cleaned up last year. And overall, he is the number one receiver in this offense, a really high volume guy, a guy that will get better. So I thought it was a really economical deal, and I'm happy that it happened.
Always a pleasure, Alex. Appreciate your insight very much.
All right, thank you, Steve. Take care.
Alex Kozora joining us from Steeler Camp. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, and we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Team's practicing right now, no class this week. They had Friday off because it was finals. They did practice Saturday and yesterday out there today. They'll go through this week. By the end of the week is about the time where they'll start to make the transition to guys sliding to a scout team. But that doesn't mean competition ends. Every day you compete. And I pointed out the Jordan Vandenberg example, because a year ago he slid to the scout team. And by the end of the year, he's playing. And that happens. If you continue to impress and get the job done, you can work your way to the travel group. And that's where they are with this. You know, some guys you already know are going to start. There's some positions where you're waiting to see. You have a pretty good feel, I think, at this point, who really has made their way to the rotation part of it. But they have to work this every day this week to confirm that. And it's going to be there's a couple of guys I'm interested in seeing, and I know you want me to name them, and I'm not going to, because that's James's job to name them, not me, that I think are right there that are close, and it's going to depend on what a decision is going to be, and I'm sure they're going to be tough decisions. In some ways, it may be, can you get them on special teams? That's why when I'm talking about travel teams, there may be a couple of guys that get onto special teams out of this. And then that gets them to the travel team, and that gets them into the on the varsity side of it that's traveling at this point, especially with the opener being on the road. What's the number on that now? I think it's 74, I think. Is it 74? I think it's the number that travel now, which is fine. I remember it dropped down as low as 64 at one point. And they put out a memo on Gatorade and Powerade. And Tom Venerino showed it to me. And the whole deal was, okay, if you're a Powerade school, you go on a road to the Gatorade school, you have to put these Big Ten jackets over the jug to cover it up because now it's a Powerade school playing on the road at a Gatorade school. And in the small print at the bottom, I kid you not, oh, by the way, you can now travel 68 players. I said,
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I'm not kidding you.
Where are our priorities here, really?
Money.
Well,
Tommy showed me the memo. And he said to me, Steve, tell me what's squirrely about this. So I looked at it and read it. I go, oh, you can travel 68 players. He says, you get to that fast. I said, well, that's the only part I care about. I don't care about the Powerade Gatorade thing. But it was Michigan played a game with 64 players on the road because they didn't read the entire memo. And they called up and they said, we didn't see the bottom part. Now, they won the game, so it didn't matter. But, you know, but there are four guys that could have had the chance to be on the travel team. Now, it's up to 74 now, so it's different. But, I mean, true story. I mean, you sit in this chair and you get all sorts of stories. And you sit there and go, you got to be kidding me. He showed it to me. I read it. Like, I said, you have to be kidding me. And that's when he told me Michigan played with 64 guys. Not against Penn State. I think it was at Northwestern or something like that. They won the game, but...
Just shows you where the life of college football is now, if it weren't that enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is when Joe was there. So this goes back, I don't know, 18 years ago. But this is what, you know, like, this is what they think about. And to me, I'm always looking at the competitive part of it. To me, it's about the winning and the losing. The money will show up. Oh, well. By the way, we got to get Dave Revson on the show. You want to know why? This is 15 years of BTN.
Well, absolutely.
By the way, you see the NBC group? You heard me mention it to Donnie. Jack Collinsworth and Jason Garrett will be announcing Notre Dame football for NBC.
Yes, I did see that over the weekend.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.